Say, yeah, hey man, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, and all is most right with the world, and God is good.
All the time.
God really, really is good. I hope you're enjoying this break from the summer heat and humidity. I know some of those out there who just rolled their eyes and said, give me the heat and humidity any day. But at any rate, for a guy like me, I like four seasons, and this is easing into it very, very nicely. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. Cazito, who's there as your voice here with Central Baptist Church today. We're so glad to have Dr. Cazito back with us today, and as always, we love the fact that he's there. You're part of our church as well if you're monitoring online, and as always, if you have any questions or anything that you need to ask Dr. Cazito, or something you need to find out from us, he can make sure that he gets you the information that you need. So we're tickled to death to be able to have this opportunity today to come together to worship in spirit and in truth. Well, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful once again that you have allowed us these moments to be able to come together around your word. What a blessing it is as your children, Father, to gather around your word. Lord, we know that your word does not return void, and that every time we have the chance and the opportunity to be together and to be in your word, you will speak to us. Your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Lord, your Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us, and today is no different. So, Lord, as we have gathered today, we pray that you will help us to keep our eyes and our focus upon you, that we would truly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives today, that we might be drawn closer to you. And Lord, as always, we pray that if there's one in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they would give their heart to you and experience not only life eternal in the place that you've created for us called heaven, but Lord, also what it's like to be able to serve you, and Lord, in many cases, suffer for you here on this earth. So Lord, bless our time together as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as always, we're in that season that we take up our collections, or we begin to start working on building those Operation Christmas Child boxes, which go to children and families that are overseas. And I want to just mention, we have two different things that are going on here. As a church, we build and collect the Operation Christmas Child boxes, but we are also a regional drop-off. So we have those boxes out in the back. Again, we ask if you would take one of those boxes, or two or ten or however many you need, and fill those up. And then we're going to have our church collections. We're having two different Sundays that we'll do that. It'll be November the 10th and November the 17th when we will be collecting those boxes. And we ask that you'll bring them on those days. You can place them here at the altar. And we're going to have that time where we pray over the child as well as the family that will receive those boxes, that God would do some incredible things through our opportunity to be able to be used by him in creating something so small that could be something so big in the hands of our Father. So that's what we're doing as a church. Then we have several dates where you could be of assistance if you so desire to, as the people bring the boxes here as a regional drop-off. And there's dates on those. It's November the 18th, 19th, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And we have the times listed on that. No, that's not correct, right? November the 18th and the 25th, the whole week. Okay. See Jana back there if you'd like to help out with that. There's also a sign up sheet back there so that we'll know who is going to be coming and who is going to be assisting with that. And that way, what we do is we take the boxes that come in, we rebox them in bigger packages, and then we work on getting them sent off to a distribution center. And if you're not familiar with Operation Christmas Child and how it works, we try to introduce you each year to some of those that have been recipients, or some direction on packing the boxes and that sort of thing. And today's no difference. I think we have a video back there once again to be able to place. We'll roll that OCC video for you.
When children open their boxes, you can hear the laughter, the cheer.
Each gift brings a joy to their heart.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me."
I want the children to know that Jesus Christ is alive and he'll come into each and every heart that invites him.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to share the gospel with children around the world. Every shoebox gift is delivered with a verbal and written proclamation of the gospel in more than 100 countries every year.
Jesus loves you.
This is an evangelism project, and it all starts with a very simple shoebox gift.
Volunteers are really the heart of who we are and what we do.
When we pack the boxes, it's a reflection, a little glimpse of God's love that we're pouring out.
When you pack the box, pray. We never know how God is going to use that box. They go by plane, they go by riverboat, they go by motorbikes. These shoeboxes go to children in some of the most isolated areas of the world.
Your shoebox goes from you filling it full of toys to all ends of the earth to share the name of Jesus Christ.
These boxes gives us a chance to show them that there is a light, there is a truth.
After receiving shoebox gifts, children are invited to a 12-lesson discipleship program, The Greatest Journey.
The child is discipled, not only know God, but make God known to others.
They started to know the power of prayer. They want to know more.
From this, we are seeing lives transformed for the kingdom of God.
Cuando me dieron mi regalo a través de la iglesia, solo Dios me tocó y sentí en mi corazón algo fuerte. Ya ves, yo sumergí el pecado mío desde hace tiempo y yo no puedo regresar atrás. A mí me encanta compartir lo que es la Biblia con mi hermanito pequeño, Yalil. Y yo le digo a la gente, amistades, que busquen a Dios.
When I was 14 years old, I started teaching my first The Greatest Journey lesson. If I shared the gospel to them, I really, really hope that they share the gospel with everyone they know.
The heart of Operation Christmas Child is evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. Because we bring gift to the children, the mothers and the fathers accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. In every church, we are teaching them how to reach out to their neighbors. Operation Christmas Child became the answer from God.
Children are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth.
And it's time for us to go where no one else went, so the gospel can cover this earth just the way the water covered the ocean.
Let's pray for the outreach to continue. It has to be our burden to reach them with the gospel.
Millions of children around the world are being impacted by these simple shoebox gifts. So we need to keep packing those boxes and continue to pray for the children around the world as we begin to disciple them. God bless you. Thank you.
Please stand with me as we sing hymn number 247, Come Thou Almighty King.
I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder.
Amen. Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there with me, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. It's very interesting that particularly in today's society, what we see and what we hear. I know that for me, it's interesting that I will have an opportunity to meet somebody new. We'll be talking and they'll say something like, "Oh, so what do you do for a living?" And I'll tell them, "I'm a pastor." And it's ironic how many people at that particular point want to have a theological conversation, which you think is really a good thing, until you hear their theological viewpoint. I tell you, the further it goes and the more it goes on, there's some very strange theology that goes on and around in our society today. And I sit back and I'll say, well, I guess the older I get, my face says what my brain is thinking. I used to be able to hide that well, but I don't anymore. You know, when somebody's telling you about some theological viewpoint and you're sitting there going, yeah, it kind of gives it away. And it's interesting to say, and I'll say, well, let me ask you this. Where did you come up with that? And inevitably, this is the answer I get. Well, at church, Pastor so-and-so said that. And I would tell you that it is anywhere near what the truth of the gospel message is that we read in God's word. And I think that that's problematic. I think that there are times when it happens on an accidental basis, but I also believe that there are times that, according to God's word, these are things that are done willful and on purpose. Now, I'm talking about misleading the people. I am talking about false prophets, which we're going to read about essentially today in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. So when we get to this particular point, and instead of taking the whole passage, I'm going to break a few verses down on that. But Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, warns his followers to be vigilant and to be discerning, especially regarding those who claim to be prophets. Now, this passage, it serves as a critical reminder for you and I that we have to be cautious about the influences that we allow in our spiritual journey, because they are going to affect you along the way. You know, I think about it, what God said in the Word when he told Israel. He said, "I don't want you to have anything to do with this group of people over here." It wasn't because of racism. It wasn't because of anything other than the fact that they followed pagan gods and that sort of thing. And God said, if you go over there and you're hanging out with them, their influence is going to rub off on you, and it's not a good influence. Now, that is not to say that a biblical influence doesn't rub off on somebody as well. But obviously, you have to be in numbers when that sort of thing happens, because you have to be able to draw strength as well from one another. That's what this is all about today. That's why we come together as God's people. That is the reason why, when we get in and around God's word, we do that as like-minded believers, so that we can strengthen each other, so that we can encourage one another. And as the word says it far better than I can, iron sharpens iron. That's why we do what we do, so that we're not that one lone sheep that's out there with a ravenous pack of wolves that are breathing down our back. So there's a couple of things that I want us to understand today out of the scriptures and out of God's word. And I got to talk fast and you got to listen fast, because we still have a few things we got to get done today, okay? So as we look at the word of God, Matthew chapter 7, and particularly verse 15 tells us this. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Now, when we read that, we're pretty good with English. We don't have any sort of problem whatsoever when it comes down to understanding what this verse is trying to tell us. But Jesus directly warns his followers about false prophets who appear harmless but have harmful intentions. And we have to understand that. It was that way back in Jesus' day. It is that way in our day. And the only thing, and I'm going to probably get ahead of myself. No, I'm not. I'm going to wait. We have to understand how we understand why we understand what we understand. And I was going to make a really bad remark about that, but I'm not. But nonetheless, you got to know why you believe what you believe. There's a big word that's called apologetics. And apologetics means knowing why you believe what you believe. And the standard of what we believe comes from a particular place. Anybody want to take a guess where that comes from? The Bible. This is our standard. Now, here is the problem. This is not the world's standard of today. That is the reason why it becomes even more difficult when you are having a conversation with somebody. And I've said this 1,000 times in Central Baptist Church. If I'm going to have a theological discussion with somebody, we must have a standard by which we can agree on to be able to prove a point. And my first question is usually this: do you believe that the Bible truly is the inspired, inerrant Word of God? You know what I get most of the time now? No. Or, well, you know, that's a fairy tale book, or that's symbolism, or whatever. And I'm like, well, then we don't have any grounds by which we can have a theological discussion, because you and I do not agree on the same standard. Here's the problem today. The problem today is that even those who profess to be believers do not carry the Word of God as their standard. So you can see how it can get so far out in left field. Everybody does what they want to do because according to the religion that they follow, everything is okay for me to do what I do. So what happens is people all of a sudden seek a religion that is complementary to their sinful lifestyle. That's what happens. In other words, let's bend the Word of God around what my thoughts and my activities and my viewpoints and my ways of doing things are, rather than taking the Word of God as the standard and following it in your life. You know what? You can make anything become okay. You see, what it does, it soothes their heart to be able to do that. To be able to say, well, according to my religion, call it whatever you want, X sin is okay. According to my religion, according to the way I see this, what I am doing is okay, when it is blatantly against what God's Word says. But here's the problem with that. You can't win an argument with somebody unless you have the same standard, because you'll never be able to prove your point. You see, I could sit back all day and say, well, according to the Word of God, here's how God views this particular sin. He views it as an abomination. And they'll sit back and say, well, yeah, that's great, but my book that I believe in over here doesn't say that. So you see, you got to have the same standard. But Jesus was teaching his followers, as well as those around him, that there are going to be those who appear harmless, but the bottom line is they are very harmful. You know, you can agree with somebody, and you can say nice things to somebody, and you can soothe people's heart, and you can soothe them right into the pits of hell. Amen. You can make them comfortable where they are. And here's the problem. It is being done today in the name of Jesus. It is being done in the name of religion, and it is being preached from pulpits around the world. Well, God wants you to do this, and God wants you to feel good, and God wants all these particular things. Now, folks, God is not a cosmic killjoy, but I will tell you this. The same God that is a God of love is the same God that's a God of judgment. And he is not going to change his rule for anybody on this planet. He says that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in this same passage, and I think this is something that every one of us should mark, and go back today a little bit later on as you've got more time in Matthew chapter 7. But the Lord says this: not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. And you know what that means? It's not about works, but Jesus in you changes you. It's not the check box that you hear me talk about all the time. It's not that I went and prayed with the pastor. Jesus becomes who you are, not something you do. You reflect His will. You reflect His word in every place that you go, in everything that you do, and your life becomes about Him. That is the difference. So when we look at that particular verse, verse 15, once again, says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." All right. The analogy of sheep's clothing suggests false prophets can appear to be genuine or righteous. How many times has that been what has drawn people in? That person seems to be real. They seem to be genuine. They seem to be honest. And as you look at this, you have probably encountered somebody along life's way. Maybe not from somebody that was a pastor, but maybe somebody that you met in your life that seemed one way but turned out to be another way, and you were fooled. You were extremely fooled by who they were. That happens when it comes down to false prophets as well. Their true nature is predatory. Their true nature is dangerous, and it is akin to a ferocious wolf that's snarling his teeth that is coming after you. Folks, let me make something very, very clear. And this is not something new, but I think it's something we need to be reminded of. Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, I've often thought about it, you know, regardless of how you feel about this, there are certain animals that'll cozy up to you, and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, isn't that nice? And all of a sudden you're petting it and it's loving on you, and the next minute, yeah, it's clawing and biting and trying to rip you a new one. Anybody ever had that happen to them? Yeah, I get it. You know, all of a sudden, yeah, one minute it's like, oh, isn't that sweet? And it's like, rah, rah, rah. Well, some people are like that as well. See, as believers, we must remain vigilant. We must be questioning the authenticity and the motivation of those who claim to be spiritual authority. I don't have a problem with that. Anybody who is a true, born-again, called a believer of the Lord, called into ministry, will not have any question for you to take what they say and use the litmus test of the Word of God to ensure that it's true. In fact, I welcome that. Any true prophet welcomes that along the way. Any true person of God will sit back and say, hey, look, what does the Word of God say? What is coming from this pulpit needs to be what is coming from the Word of God, period. And it is up to you and I to ensure that that takes place, to make sure that what is coming from here is not contradictory to the Word of God. You know, I like that old statement that says this, trust but verify. Trust but verify. Yeah, you've known that in a lot of different ways. You know, you're sitting there and somebody will sit back. And I like that that old country expression that I've heard as well that says, you know, in God we trust. All of us pay cash. Yeah, that's the way it works. You trust, but you need to verify what is coming forth and what is being said in your life, because people are being fooled at alarming rates today over false religion, over false theology. And I'm going to get to the reason why that is in just a moment. You know, you trust but verify. You seek constant alignment with the Scripture to ensure that the teachings are true. So that's one thing I want us to see, and one thing out of this verse. Now, the second thing I want us to see today comes out of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16. And we need to identifying by the fruits according to what the Scripture says. Matthew 7:16 says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Now, we talked about that just a moment ago, and people would sit back and say, well, how do I know when something doesn't align with the Word of God? And you actually just answered the question. How do you know when something doesn't align with the Word of God? Here it is. Are you ready for it? You must know the Word of God. Amen. That is one of the biggest problems that we have with Christianity today in our society. Everybody is getting their theology from the pulpit, and they're not getting it from the Word of God themselves. They're only having their spiritual meal on Sunday. You have got to get into the Word of God and know it. Now, you've heard this illustration over and over again, but it remains true, and especially for right here. How is it that the agents for the federal government identify counterfeit money? They don't go out and study every counterfeit that there is. You know what they study? They study the genuine thing. They know the genuine thing so much and so perfectly that when something comes along that is outside of the norm, they automatically pick it up. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, if you want to make sure that what you're hearing is not bad theology, that is not false prophecy, then you need to know the real thing so good that when something comes up, you make the face like I do. When you hear it, you're like, that is not what this says. And you know what? Sometimes you'll even say that. You'll sit back and say, well, that's not what the Word of God says. Let me show it to you right here. It says in this particular passage and chapter, you know what they'll say? I've actually had this. You know what they'll say to you? Well, it don't matter what that says. See, then all of a sudden you begin to understand that the Word of God is not their standard. Here's the problem with that. If you don't know this, then you believe what those people tell you. And when you believe what those people tell you, then all of a sudden you feel good about it because it's a theological point that you have ingrained in your head, that you have ingrained in your brain, and you think it's okay. But not, thus saith the Lord. Notice what it says. You will know them by their fruits. And then there's an illustration. See, what is the observation that we have in this verse? Jesus introduces this metaphor of fruit, and he does so to illustrate the true nature of individuals, emphasizing that actions and outcomes reveal their authenticity. Think about it for a minute. Actions and outcomes reveal their authenticity. The analogy indicates that just as the nature of a tree is what determines its fruit. You know that. You know, as the nature of a tree determines its fruit, therefore, the nature of a person determines their actions and their outcomes. A truly good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And it's ironic that we don't have any trouble going down the road and saying, ooh, look at that apple tree. You know what? If we're driving down the road and you said, oh boy, look at that apple tree. You know, what if I looked at you and said, how do you know it's an apple tree? What are you going to tell me? It's got apples on it. You're going to probably look at me like I got three heads and say, duh, there's apples on it. Because an apple tree produces apples. What if you're down in Florida and you're driving around and all of a sudden you look over and what are the majority of the trees you'll see in Florida? Orange trees. Yeah, because of the region. You know, now what happens if I'm driving down through Florida and you're with me and there's an orange grove and I say, ooh, look at those pretty apples. I mean, I would like to think that you would look at me and probably say something like, are you okay? Are you doing all right? And I'll say, well, sure, I'm doing fine. Why? And you're studying that field because you're trying to see if you can see some apples in that tree. And the reason why, look, maybe it's because you trust me, but the bottom line is simply this. You know the difference between an apple and an orange, don't you? And that's the reason that you sit back and say, dude, maybe you need to pull the car over a little bit. Maybe we need to stop over here at the ER and let them check you out. Because that's not an apple orchard. Now, those are orange trees. Here's the problem. There's too many people who don't know what apples and oranges are. And there are people who are driving by the orange grove saying, ooh, look at these apples. And then you know what happens? All of a sudden you're driving down the road with somebody else and go, aren't those pretty apples? And they go, yeah, let's juice one of them apples. That's what we have for breakfast, apple juice. It's got pulp in it. But do you see how all of a sudden the lines can start to become blurred? You have to know what's going on. Now, what is that verse tells us? You see, how do we apply it? You see, you have to evaluate the spiritual leaders and those in your life that are giving you spiritual advice, as well as the influences around you, by observing the outcomes of their teaching and their actions. Because if they believe it, then their actions should follow their teaching. It should become who they are and not just something that they do on Sunday. Seek those who promote. Since we're talking about fruit, what does the Bible tell us that says there are fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So think about that for a minute. Are the people that others are following, are they promoting love or are they promoting hate? You know what? The Lord says we promote love. If there's somebody that's promoting hate, then you know that that's anti-biblical right now. What about love? If somebody is promoting the opposite of those things, what about joy? Yeah, promoting joy. And you know, some people don't do that. What about peace? Oh, Lord of mercy, there will be a pot stir in every crowd. Amen? Some people live to stir the pot. I've known people like that. They are instigators. Lord have mercy. They will go in and stir the pot and they will create a frenzy and they will sit back and laugh as people go after each other and love that. I'm like, how do you do that? But they do. Listen, if that's being promoted, that is not correct because that's not a fruit of the Spirit. What about patience? Oh, Lord, here's another sermon for another day. We are not very patient people, are we? All right, because confession is good for the soul, how many of you are admitting today, I am not a very patient person? Look at those hands. Those are my people. The rest of you all are liars. I've been with you in restaurants. I've been with you in places before. And we are not patient people by nature. We're just not. Listen, that is a fruit of the Spirit. And listen, if Satan knows that that's a fruit of the Spirit, guess what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to challenge those things in your life. Satan is going to try to challenge the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the justice. He's going to challenge every one of those things in your life so that you will snap and others will see something other than a godly image within your life. All of a sudden, you are not producing the fruit of the Spirit. You're producing something other than the fruit of the Spirit. Then the third thing I want us to see in this particular passage is that good trees and there are good trees and there are bad trees. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. It says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. See, this passage reinforces the inevitability of one's true nature manifesting in their actions and in their behaviors. If this is what you truly are, if you are truly a born-again believer, then you are going to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, and people will see them. Now don't sit back and doubt your salvation today because you have a hair trigger. There are areas in our lives that we struggle with, each and every one of us. Sometimes it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Sometimes it's all of the fruits of the Spirit. But yet, the difference is there's conviction in our hearts when we've done wrong. There's conviction in our heart that we haven't reflected God as we should. Have you ever had that moment where you snapped on somebody, and in the moment it felt right, and then in the immediate aftermath, the Lord, you know, all of a sudden you just saw this vision of God going. And you were like, what? God's like, you know that's not how my children act. You know that that was not correct. And then the conviction comes in. And hopefully and prayerfully, at least you went back and said, hey, look, just a few moments ago, I went off the reservation. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me? Yeah. Maybe it's you that's had to go ask forgiveness. Maybe it's you that somebody's had to ask that forgiveness from. But you know what that does? Then what happens is that reinforces who you really are in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't let you get away with those sort of things. See, there's a clear moral implication that genuine goodness results in good deeds, whereas evil intentions inevitably lead to harmful outcomes. Plain and simple. This intrinsic nature of a person or a leader surfaces through their deeds. What do these people do? How do these people live? What is going on? When you see it, you know, there should be a red flag. When you are in God's word and something happens that is outside of God's word, let me promise you that the Holy Spirit will put up that alarm that goes, pay attention to that. And listen, if you're not sure, then go back and sift it through God's word. Go to that godly person in your life and say, hey, look, I was talking to somebody the other day. There was this theological point that came up that just didn't feel right. This is what they said. And you know what? Oftentimes, that maybe more spiritually mature person will say, oh, yeah, well, right here, according to the scripture, this is what it says. That's why discipleship groups are outstanding. You learn from each other. You learn from the Word of God. And man, what a great time. You see, what we need to do is we need to strive to be good trees, producing good fruit in our daily lives, that and ensuring that our actions are a reflection of our faith. You know, we need to surround ourselves with those who constantly demonstrate the love and the principles of Jesus Christ. There's strength in numbers. That's why it's great to get together with God's people. Because today, as we've come together, we are like-minded. We're not getting beat up by the world. We're not allowing that sin to come in. It's a refreshing break to be able to have this time with believers and brothers and sisters. And I want to make another point while I'm at it. You know, with all this stuff that's been going on with the disaster relief, I said before, Steve was there for 2 weeks as the lead chaplain in Arden. Kurt's been out there in the mountains with the boys, you know, this past week, you know, cutting trees down and everything else. And if you all's experiences have been like mine, here's what you found out. Not one single time did anybody ask me if I was a Republican or a Democrat. Not one single time did anybody ask me if I was a moderate or a conservative. Not one single time. Did they ask you that, Steve? Well, what about you, Kurt? Did any of that come up there? No, what happened was you got together with a bunch of believers who were reflective images of Christ, and you stood shoulder to shoulder to be hands and feet of God Almighty in the hearts and lives of people and share His word with one another. Wow. Imagine what it would be like if the whole world was like that. And instead, you know, and people sit back to me and they say, well, that's just because everybody up there is trying to help those people. And well, you know what? That's what we should be trying to do here on a daily basis. We're all not going to be the same. Listen, if we were all the same, this world would be boring. If everybody in this world was like me, you would hate it and so would I. But if everybody in this world was like you, you would hate it and so would I. Variety is the spice of life. But we can serve our Lord together and not let the things in the peripheral keep us from being what we need to be for God Almighty. And you know, let me tell you something else. Not one time did I stand in a line where they were serving food and say, excuse me, let me ask you a question. Are you a believer or not? And if they said, no, I'm not a believer, I didn't sit back and say, well, don't hand them a meal. They're not a believer. Not one time did we say those things. See, we were being the hands and the feet of Christ in not only the lives of those who know him, but also the lives of those who don't know him. And that makes all the difference in the world. Why is it so difficult when we're not under duress? Yeah, sometimes I think the Lord might say, well, you know what? If people are going to come together like that, let's just make them all under duress all the time. Then maybe they'll love each other like they're supposed to. Maybe they will be reflective of me like they should be. Maybe when they have absolutely nothing, they'll be grateful for what little they have. Ouch. That is a hard lesson to learn. You see, folks, Jesus calls us to be discerning in our spiritual experiences, alerting us to the presence of false prophets. Because let me tell you something, I want you to hear me real good today. They are out there. And I'm not asking you to believe me. In fact, I have told you before, never ever use the excuse when somebody says to you, when you explain a biblical truth or a biblical position, and they say, well, where did you get that? Do not ever say, well, my pastor said that. That is not a good answer. It is not the proper one. It is not the right one. Because then what happens is, if that's your answer and you can't come back to this, you got some work you need to do. You need to be able to say, well, my pastor said it, but Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 says, judge not lest ye be judged. See, this is your standard, not Roy. Roy didn't die for your sins. Roy is completely incapable of rising from the dead. And so is anybody else. Only he. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was right here. And why is it that this is this is eye candy for the end table? Listen, I pray that it looks like old dish rag, that it just, you can just roll it up like this and you can just fold it back and everything else, because it's been used. I like it. Somebody said, that thing's so supple. And a guy told me, said, yes, that he uses it. You know why? Because the oils in his hands keep it supple. That means you got to be holding it. That means you got to be reading it. I've said this before. You can't pick this up by osmosis. And some of y'all said, what's that? That's like transfer. I can't sleep on this at night or hold it tight enough that it absorbs into me that I know it. It has to come through my eyes. It has to get in my head, and it has to trickle down to my heart. The next time you have that look, know why you have that look. If it doesn't feel right, go home. Get into the Word of God. Call me. Call Pastor David. We will put you in the right place, but not just to listen to what we say. I cannot stand that answer. Where'd you get that from? Well, my pastor said it. I said, well, I don't care. Somebody said, well, David Jeremiah said it. I said, I love David Jeremiah, but David Jeremiah ain't God. What does this say? Of course, under my breath, I was sitting there saying, David Jeremiah didn't say that. I'll tell you that. You misunderstood him. And then you go back. We're not trying to tee off on people. But you need to know why you believe what you believe, because here's why. If you don't, you will be led astray. And I've seen a lot of good people led astray. A lot of good people who fill up stadiums and coliseums because they want to feel good on Sunday. Listen, I'm not here to beat you up, but if the Holy Spirit beats you up, so be it. If the shoe fits, wear it. But I will tell you this, I'm also not here to blow sunshine your way and send you straight to hell. I'm also not here to tell you that there's that prosperity theology is real, because it's not. It's not. Yeah. theology that says, well, the Lord wants you to have a Cadillac Eldorado. No. The Lord might give you a bicycle because you was praying for transportation. That might be your mode. Now, I'm not saying God don't bless, but you need to know the truth that God is sovereign. He does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whomever he wants, and he is justified in doing it. God don't owe me a thing, and he don't owe you a thing. All we have is by his good grace, plain and simple. All good gifts come from the Father. Where's your theology today? We need to regularly examine the influencers, the spiritual influencers in our lives, teachers, leaders, peers, ensuring that they reflect and promote the teachings of Christ. We need to strive to bear good fruit in and of ourselves, manifesting the change and love that the Holy Spirit nurtures within each and every one of us. That's what it's about. See, this is not my word. This is the word of the Lord. Verse 15 is kind of the subject. Beware of false prophets. Beware. If you walk up to a house and you see a sign on the fence that says, beware of the dog, what do you normally do? Start looking around. Beware. I'm telling you today, there's a big sign. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves because they are going to try to eat you alive. And unfortunately, a lot of us get taken in by just that. So here's the question. First of all, have you trusted Christ? Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to prepare for our time of invitation. Have you trusted Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? That's the big thing. See, that's one of the greatest deceptions that the devil has, is to say, I'm all right, you're all right, yeah, here's your theology. And Satan doesn't even care if you're religious. He doesn't care if you're spiritual when you're lost. Oh, can a spiritual or a religious person be lost? Absolutely. Have you trusted in him? Have you given your life to him? Have you said, yes, Lord, I believe what you accomplished on Calvary's cross is more than enough to save me of my sins. And Lord, today I realize I am a sinner, and because of those sins, I deserve death and hell, but because of what you did and you extend to me salvation today, then Lord, here I am. Take me. Have you done that? Listen, if not, you need to stop what you're doing right now. If you're online, if you're here, wherever it may be, and you need to cry out to God, Lord, I am a sinner. Save my soul. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you did that, I will make you a promise that God heard your prayer because the conviction was of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't of Roy Carter. And when you open the door, he will come in. But that's not it. You know, if I go to your house and knock on the door and you open it and you say, come in, what happens next? Do you just stand there and stare at each other? What do you do? Come on in. Come on in and have a seat. And if you're a good Southerner, come on in, have a seat. Can I get you a... Oh, come on, we're Southerners. A sweet tea. And then you come back in and you sit down and you have some conversation, right? Oh, listen, guess what that's called? That's called prayer. That's called Bible study. That's called getting to know your Lord. And that's a really cool place to be. See, for some of y'all, y'all just been sitting there staring at him in the doorway. Yeah, you've opened the door, but you're like, invite him on in. Have a seat. Let's chat. Let's get to know each other. Let's hang out together. Let's go do stuff together. Oh, now that is what's really fun. I'm sure that Steve didn't, you know, sit back and go, oh, goody, I get to sleep on a floor or a cot for 2 weeks. I can't wait to do that. I got to get away from Mari. That's not what he said. No, because he loves her and she loves him. So that was tough being away for 2 weeks. But he went and hung out with the Lord to do the Lord's work. And it was uncomfortable. And Kurt up in the snow with a chainsaw. Not because he said, I don't like sleeping in a warm bed or being in a warm house. I'd rather be out here freezing to death, cutting up trees. No, that's not why he did that. He did that because he was hanging out with the Lord. And the Lord said, here's what we need to do. I need you to do this for me. And I will make you another promise. Neither one of them would trade that experience for anything in this world. Hanging out with the Lord. See, it's not all about just showing up on Sunday and doing your thing and going home. It's about it being every moment of every day of your life. That is when it gets fun. If just showing up on Sunday was all it was, I'd think that was boring and probably wouldn't be here. You know what? Much like the rest of the world, because that's what they think being a Christian's all about. It's not. Wow. Maybe you're here today and the Lord just kicked you right in the pants. That's the only way for me to say it. And you've just been sitting there floating along. You've been a bench warmer for too long, and he's saying it's time to get in the game. And it's time for you to start realizing what's going on. It's time for you to start digging into the Word of God so that you are not fooled, as the Word says, by every wind of doctrine floating to and fro and around. It's time to get busy. It's time to get busy with the Word of God. And when I will promise you this, listen, if you start getting busy with the Word of God, everything else will fall into place. Your service will fall into place. You know, your giving will fall into place. All these other things will fall into place when you get it right with Him, plain and simple. You can't help it because you're being led by Him and not yourself. Listen, the old altar's here, I'm here, whatever decision you've made, listen, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. If you just need to spend some time with the Lord, giving some things to Him to make some things right, now is the appointed time. Don't let Satan win out on this when God's already convicted your heart. What do you need to do? You do it now. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 320, turn your eyes upon Jesus. As your eyes are closed, as you continue to seek the Master, you know what He has told you to do. It's been personal. It's been right up in your face. There's no disguising it. You know what it is. My prayer is that you will do business with Him and make it right before you leave this place today. As you continue to do business with the Lord, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. And I would also like to ask our serving deacons if they would make their way down to the front row. Thank you. Father, you're so good to us, and we thank you for this time that we come and continue to worship you by returning to you that which you have blessed us with. Lord, help us to be faithful to return to you the tithe and the offering, and may it be used for your honor and glory. Father, help us as your church to be good stewards of what is yours, to use it for your kingdom's sake. And Lord, I pray that you would give a special blessing to those who are giving in a faithful way to you. Lord, that your word says that you want to bless them and bless them indeed. So may that happen right now as we're faithful to return the tithe and offering, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word tells us that as Jesus met with his disciples, one of the things that he told them was this. He said, "But let a man examine himself." As we're preparing this time to partake in the Lord's Supper, we need to ensure our hearts are in the right place. You know, when we look at the Lord's Supper, there were many things that were part of that, and one of those was that he said, "This is a memorial service to commemorate what I have done for you through Calvary's cross, through the broken body, through the shed blood, through the resurrection." And so as we take this time to come around the table today, it is to remember what Christ has done for us. You know, we need those reminders at times because we get so busy, things get pushed to the back. And he said this, he said, "As often as we do this, we do show his death until he comes." So may we take this moment to examine our hearts, to spend a few moments in prayer as we come around the Lord's table. Let's pray together. Our Father, what a joy and a privilege it is to be still in the quietness of your house with brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, to reflect upon all that you have done for us and to be faithful and obedient to your word that tells us to come around the Lord's table to remember Calvary's cross. Lord, right now I pray that as we enter into this time, we would do so with no unconfessed sin in our hearts or our lives, that we would be prepared as we come into your presence. And as we do so with our brothers and sisters that we love and that we enjoy serving with. Lord, may this be an incredible time that we have to spend in your love and remembering who you are. Bless us, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Brother Mark, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can remember your great sacrifice on Calvary's cross, and that through your shed blood, your death and resurrection, Lord, that we might, that whosoever will, may know you as personal Savior. We thank you for that. Pray that we'll never take it for granted. And Lord, we just pray now that you would bless the bread as we think about your body that was broken for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. He broke it. He passed it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, just broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Bill, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Father, we come to you now thanking you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who went to his death on a cruel cross just to save me. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we can all remember, if it's only been one, he would have sacrificed himself for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you.
when he supped, he took the cup. He told his disciples, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. Word says, "For as oft as ye take of the bread and partake in the cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. What a memorial service. I'm going to get, if you want to cover, if you would you help him cover this back up? I'm going to hit a couple of announcements, and then we will get you on out of here. And there's just a few things that we need to make sure that we call your attention to. And then we'll get you on out of here and eating lunch. But let's see, what do we got on the store for today? First of all, just a couple birthdays coming up this week. This coming Wednesday, Randy Stewart will be having a birthday back there at the door, our very own Randy. Then Thursday, Bill Eatman, right down here, will be having a birthday. So those are the two birthday boys, and they like cash and food as well. So if you feed them, that'll be good. Anniversary's coming up this week, Wednesday. Doc Pete and Sandra will be celebrating another year of marital bliss, one with another. So as you think of these folks, be sure to give them a hug, send them a card, let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. Just things that we've got going on today. My D-Life group will be meeting at 3:30. There's a building and grounds meeting also at 3:30 in classroom number 6 over here in this building. Is that correct? In this building over here, number 6. Choir practice, 4:45. Like normal, Awana, normal time, 5:30 today. And then 6 o'clock p.m. will be the adult Bible study with Pastor David in the room, second room on the left down this hallway. Monday, Steve's D-Life group will be meeting at 6:30. Wednesday is always men's prayer breakfast. I don't call it a prayer breakfast. They pray all the time anyways. It's a men's breakfast, Colfax Olympic Restaurant at 10 o'clock a.m. We've also been invited, if you would like to attend, the night of worship with Awakened Church on the 25th of this month from 7 to 8:15, which will be over in the Family Life Center. There's a combined women's luncheon on October the 26th from 2 to 4 p.m. in the gym. And that's combined our ladies with Awakens ladies, correct? Here we go. Ladies Connections monthly meeting will be on the 6th of November at 6 o'clock p.m. in the next door building, room 116. And then, of course, the Ladies Monthly Breakfast will be also that day on the 6th at 9 a.m. at Cagney's in Friendly. Don't forget the what? November the 13th. I was just seeing if you were paying attention, Sylvia. That is actually November the 13th is when the Cagney's breakfast for the ladies will be. All right, everybody say that with me, the 13th. See, if you say it one more time, the 13th. Because if you say it, then you'll remember it, and then you can't blame me for messing it up. So November the 13th, Cagney's at 9 o'clock a.m. Don't forget, on the 27th, from 6 to 7:30, we have Trunk or Treat. We need some trunks, and we have a sign-up sheet out there, I believe, that if you can just say, "Hey, look, I will use my trunk, and I'll buy some candy," and that way the kids will have an opportunity to come through. And some of you don't have to dress up. Some of you are scary enough, but you could decorate that trunk up, and it'll all be good. So be sure to help us with that. We always have a wonderful time with that. Don't forget Operation. I'm just going to hit our in gathering. Those are the times and the dates, if they are correct. If they're not, then we will get them corrected. The biggest thing you need to know for right now, pack a box. Our in gatherings here at the church are the 10th and the 17th of November. That's when we're going to be asking you to bring your packed boxes here to Central Baptist Church. Also, as a reminder, continue to pray for our Cuba mission team. At this point, we have 4 going. That's February 28th through the March the 7th, and we'll have to have all that information in by the second week of November. So if the Lord's knocking on your heart and telling you to go, you need to, if you're going to pray about it, you need to pray fast, because I need to know fast so we can get you signed up, get your passport and everything else squared away, and that's going on. Before I turn it over to Pastor David to close us out in a word of prayer, I want us to keep Roger Howerton in your prayers. Roger fell this morning on the way to church. He is actually gone to the emergency room. We don't have any word yet on him, but we'll try to bring you some word this evening. And then also, we want you to pray diligently, add to your prayer list Debbie McDonald, our very own Debbie. Last week, she was diagnosed with uterine cancer, so she is beginning to go through the regimen of that particular fight. So it's all in the very beginning, early stages. And like I say, God can still do some incredible things, but we all need to be praying for her. And I'm going to ask you to be praying expectantly, expecting God to do something really cool, really great, and just to heal her, that we might just be celebrating as this thing moves forward. I pray God will do some incredible miracles. And I pray for you, Jimmy, as well, not just Debbie, but Jimmy and the rest of the family, because that, you know, that news knocks you down. I can tell you that. It really does. So continue to pray for Debbie. She'll be on our list. We'll update you as we know more. Also, as you head out, please do us a favor. Phyllis and her crew work so hard to do communion. I thank you, girl. You and your crew always do such a fantastic job to make sure we have a worshipful experience. There is a trash can at the door. Would you please help those ladies out by taking your little communion cup on the way out the door? If you would throw that away, that would be a tremendous help for them. And then, as always, historically at Central, anytime we've had communion, we always collect a benevolence offering. That's why you see these guys going to shake you down at the door back here. You got Mark and Randy back there. 100% of what you put in there goes to our benevolence team to help benevolent needs within our church. So please remember that on your way out. Once again, 100% of what you give at the door goes to benevolence to help out with people when they have situations within our church. Now, I think I have remembered everything I can remember. Pastor David may have something else as he comes to see us off in a word of prayer.
One thing I do want to remind you of, it's in your bulletin today. If you didn't get a bulletin or didn't see it, a week from this coming Tuesday, we're going to have a senior meal here at the church. It's at 4 o'clock in the evening. We have to wait for school to be out so we can have our meal. But also, we're going to have it early enough so that those of you who don't want to drive after dark, you can come at 4 o'clock and eat and fellowship and still get back home before dark. So what we need you to do is sign up today. And next Sunday, there's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. So the meal is free. The fellowship is free. All you have to do is sign up so we know how much food to prepare. So if you'll do that. Then by way of our ministry to Western Carolina, there's going to be a truck here tomorrow to pick up a lot of supplies, maybe all of our supplies. We don't know yet. But as they do that, we need to replenish them. We don't want to stop doing ministry and providing things for folks in the disaster areas. So our ministry to that is going to continue on. So we have flown, I think, 8 plane loads of food into Western North Carolina, into 3 different airports. And we want to keep doing that. So we're trying to get all we can to everybody we can. So don't forget about that. Don't say, well, I took my stuff there and I've done my part. Just keep praying and keep giving. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house, for the family of God gathering together, that we can take Holy Communion together. Lord, we pray that as we go from this place today, you will help us to exercise the message that our pastor has given us, that we will use your word as a standard for every area of our life and allow it to affect everything we do and say. And then, Father, use those examples that we set that people might have a desire to know Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.